Blog Talk Radio. This is Love's Outer Limits, and I'm your host, Dr. Amy Marsh, sexologist, hypnotist, lots of other kinds of things, and I'm with my co-host, M. Christian, otherwise known as Chris, erotica writer, sexuality writer, sexual futurist, and also lots of all kinds of other things. We've got a great show lined up for you today, so welcome. Well, here we are, another Saturday. Chris, my dear co-host, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. It cheers me up to hear you laugh. Laughter is a good thing. We've got quite a topic here today. Let's do our customary shout-outs. I'll start with a regret. We had been signal-boosting Disasterina's AIDS life cycle ride from San Francisco to Los Angeles, but unfortunately, that entire event is now canceled due to the coronavirus. So I'm very sorry about that, but maybe it will happen next year. I hope so. And then, of course, a shout out to Tickle Life, and I'm going to be touching more later on a lot of the offerings that they have right now for people around sexuality and COVID-19. So I guess that's my news today. What about yours, Chris?
My favorite, of course, is futureofsex.net, and they've been doing a lot of things recently about, what you can do to, write out this situation as well as, things to try out. Kinkly has wonderful information on sexuality, kink, and as well as dealing with the pandemic. And also, Hot Movies has been covering some of my articles recently, as well as Hot Octopus, which is a sex toy company. So if you check those out, you can see some of my recent articles and such.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. Well, getting right down into it, sex and social distance, which can mean all kinds of things. Some people aren't very good at keeping the requisite 6 feet away, and others are, trying to make it to six blocks away or more. But I don't know if I feel very sexy during this time. Have you noticed an effect on your libido?
It's pretty damn challenging, that's for sure. I mean, it's not so much that it's that I really, really long for companionship, but, it's so distracting. That's the worst thing about this whole situation. It's like, everyone's been talking about, oh, this is a good opportunity to do this and work on your book or meditate or learn a language or a skill. But because things are just so damned uncertain, it's hard to focus.
It really, really is. It really is. And I noticed that when I was going through some of the more recent offerings on tickle.life, around a lot of people are writing and making podcasts around this topic of, what are we doing during this time? I noticed at least one person, I think it was Chris Donahue, on his podcast topic was love and relationships and lockdown, I think addressed the inability to focus at one point. And a lot of other people I've heard people commenting, I can't, saying things like, I can't concentrate, I don't know what to do, I feel so unproductive, and so on.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's a combination of fear, insecurity. It's like trying to deal with how, the entire world has changed in only about a month. And then, of course, we don't know from one day to another what's going on.
Yep. Yep, that's true. And all of this has the impact of keeping us almost, 24/7 triggered in our fight, flight, or fright portion of our nervous system. And that sympathetic nervous system response makes it very, very difficult to experience arousal. And yet I understand that some people are doing their best to overcome that and to at least have some pleasure in this time. What's come across your radar?
As far as ways to enjoy this, good news is a lot of adult entertainment companies are now offering discounts. So people give a chance now. I know Pornhub is offering a big one right now. I also just wrote an article for Future of Sex that Holodex has offering a bundle of VR and 2D sex games at a really reduced price, so people can try them out. And 3D, another couple of companies have also done the same exact thing. So it's a little bit of good news there. And I think to a certain extent we're kind of blessed that this is happening now, because, we have resources for education, information, entertainment, but also, there's the whole sex tech revolution now, so we have products that can interact with videos, we have ones that can interact over a long distance, so, now's a good time, so give them a shot.
Yeah, there's that, but I want to get back to something you mentioned, and that is, what are sex games online? Can you describe those?
Well, it used to be, the history of sex games and computers goes back, since pretty much computers were first introduced, but, they've always been kind of a little crude, to put it mildly. Now, though, we have a whole huge variety of them available where, pretty much you name your sexual orientation, interests, whatever, there's going to be someone out there who's made some kind of game that you can enjoy. Most of them are for PC, so if you're a Mac user, you're kind of screwed. But many of them are still available as Flash games. There's a place called Notaku, which, does a whole bunch of Flash games. They're going to be played on any browser. And some of them are simple. Some of them are pretty complex. Some of them are very sophisticated. More than a few of them use virtual reality, so if you have a virtual reality headset, you can enjoy them. And in fact, if you go over to futureofsex.net, we've been covering a lot of them, and so you can take a look at some of the ones we listed. They're definitely worth taking a look at. There's some online ones, too, social ones like Yareal and 3DX Chat, where you actually can do it sort of like a more explicit version of Second Life, where you can make an avatar and then interact with various people in the environment. So it's, some of them are actually, pretty affordable, and many of them are actually free of charge. So it's a good opportunity now to try them out.
Interesting. Can you just explain maybe two or three themes that you've noticed, game themes?
Oh, it really runs the gamut. Some of them are kind of like, there's a couple, Hornstown, for instance, a text-based, using some illustrations. And what's cool about that one is it's a very big branching metafiction thing, so your choices determine where you end up and what kind of sexual encounters you have. There's a couple of other ones, like Holodex I mentioned uses 3D scans of adult performers to create models that you can then interact with. Some of them are also like very game oriented. There's quite a few, like Cockville, which is over at Notaku, which is a queer, kind of dating farm sim, believe it or not, where, you're rewarded for turning in a profit or making a relationship with a character with an explicit scene, which is kind of almost a whole different trope in the erotic game world. But some of them are very focused on gameplay. Others are focused more on sex. So it really runs a huge gamut. And what's cool about them is some of them are actually labors of love. Some of them are produced by companies. But once again, it's like pretty much if you want any kind of, sexuality, there's going to be a game out there for you.
Interesting. Well, since I've been an Apple and a Mac user for years, I guess this is why these things have not crossed my radar, because you mentioned they're mainly on PCs. But I'm still feeling like I've led a sheltered life as a sexologist, because I didn't even know. But I also want to comment, this is great for people who have the income for these kinds of devices and toys and reliable internet access. And we're quite possibly, most of us are going to be a lot poorer in the next few months. And so there's also some low-tech ways, I think, that people are also finding to amuse themselves if they're at all inclined. I noticed that looking back at Tickle Life again, one of the writers who's known as Professor Sex did a column on erotic massage for one, which includes mindful masturbation. Really, it's a variation of that. And Gaia Morissette, who posts quite a bit on Tickle Life, just has a new podcast, Masturbation Support, Changing Orgasmic Patterns. So I think that's another variation on being mindful and trying new things when you're having fun by yourself.
What's so cool about this? Well, again, it's like, you know, so many options are there now. I mean, it's like, I keep, not to sound like I'm putting a, you know, my rose-colored glasses about the situation, but I keep thinking that, you know, if this had happened, like, you know, before the age of the internet or communication, oh my God, but now we have so many different options, and there's, and it's a good excuse also to exercise imagination, both erotic and otherwise.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of erotic hypnosis, and, you know, I definitely see that as having a role during this whole time, and I'll be writing a column pretty soon. I was actually supposed to get that done a few days ago, but for Tickle Life on erotic hypnosis and this time of isolation. I noticed some interesting things. I saw one of Marty Klein's recent newsletters, and Dr. Marty Klein's well known. He's written a number of books on human sexuality and relationships, including Sexual Intelligence. And he was mentioning that he assumes that there is going to be an increase in risky sex behavior, because that's, you know, we saw that before. A certain number of people, or we still see it now with the HIV/AIDS, that for some people, this kind of, I don't know, existential crisis, and this is massively traumatic for everybody, really, that this breeds for some folks a kind of recklessness. Have you come across anything addressing this issue?
Not per se. I think a lot of people, I do know, that's one that did cross my path, was that dating sites have suddenly gotten a huge uptick. And that kind of surprises me because, you know, it's like, you know, we talk about safer sex, we talk about things like that, but, you know, the what's scary about the coronavirus is the fact that it can be transmitted so easily. So even like going to, you know, if you can find a coffee shop that's open, you know, gives you the possible risk of, you know, being, you know, contracting it. So I think also, you know, to be honest though, I don't think a lot of these dating, you know, this uptick in dating, this is my personal opinion, not based on any kind of reality, is I think a lot of people are just feeling isolated and lonely, so they're reaching out, and they're reaching out to human beings. I don't think there actually is really kind of a drive to necessarily get together, but I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think most people are just feeling isolated. They're just looking for some way of connecting with other people.
Yeah, so you could always have your, you know, fabled, you know, first coffee date being in an online, you know, situation like Zoom, for example, where you've got the videos going, you're not actually in contact or proximity, but you could still actually very easily sit down and get to know somebody, you know, in a superficial way, doing that just the way you would sitting down together in a cafe. So, you know, you're right. People are probably doing that. And that is a good way to reach out. I hadn't actually thought of it in those terms, but I think you're right. One of the other things I think that Marty Klein mentions too, you know, I thought his newsletter was really great, that not only can anxiety undermine desire, but a lot of people are stuck with their kids because they're home from school. And so it's difficult to manage a sex life under those circumstances. And yeah, so that's going to be difficult. And also some people just don't do well if they're spending all day, every day in the same house together. There's a lot of people who, you know, may have very loving, committed relationships, but they need alone time. And I think that's probably difficult for some people to manage, you know, depending on their circumstances as well. So anything that people can do for self-care, I think it's going to be really important for all of us, because we're just at the kind of at the tip of this. We don't know how, you know, I'm the pessimist in this, in this program generally. You can count on me for the buzzkill and the, you know, and the doomsday scenarios, but I have a feeling it's going to get worse before it gets better. And we have to have the resilience for that. And we just don't know what form that's going to take. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I've heard reports, everything from, you know, August, you know, to the end of the year. So it really kind of like, it depends on how soon the curve flattens and how soon, you know, we get better testing. And of course, you know, the vaccine could be a year or so away. So the big thing, of course, at this point is just kind of like trying to, you know, practice as much self-care as possible, and also to be as responsible as possible with social isolation and, you know, not, you know, like we were just talking last night about this, that the, that recently the CDC and other health authorities have said now is the time to start wearing masks in public, even if you do or do not have, you know, contracted the illness. And it's not so much protecting yourself as much as protecting other people. And it's time to also start thinking of other people in that regard as well. This is not just about you. It's about everybody. So, you know, social isolation is not just, you know, something that makes things uncomfortable. It's an obligation to society and your neighbors and your friends and your family. So, but, yeah, I think self-care is the biggest thing right now, is to try and find as much pleasure as possible and, you know, and just kind of ride it out. I mean, it'll take a while, but I think we can make it through.
I sure hope so. And actually, one of the good things that might come out of this whole thing, especially if we really do cultivate this camaraderie, you know, that you're speaking of, this, we're all in it together. And I, you know, my wearing a mask protects you and you wearing a mask protects me. And the way that works is, if I'm an asymptomatic carrier, or I've gotten sick but I haven't developed symptoms yet, if I wear that mask, I'm protecting everybody around me. And if anybody else or everybody else is wearing a mask, they're doing the same. So it's a mutual protection society. And if that brings a change in public life and community togetherness that lasts beyond this crisis, I think that would actually be a really good thing. And then maybe we can expand that to other areas of life. But, you know, talking about self-care for a minute, let's give our listeners some idea of what different kinds of self-care could be. Do you want to start, or should I pop in with something first? Yeah, okay.
I think a lot of it is just being, you know, I have to be honest with you that, like myself and Dr. Amy, we're sort of used to social isolation, being like, you know, self-employed, you know, work from home people. So sometimes the perspective is a little skewed.
Right.
In fact, I was just laughing the other day. It's like, you know, I was reading a post and was saying things like, you know, work at home and, you know, only go out for necessities and, you know, and this kind of stuff. It's like, well, that's been my life for the last couple of years. you greenhorns, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. It's like, oh, I've been doing this for years. I'll get over it. I'm just making light of it. But, you know, I think like finding little wonderful things. Now, of course, it's different if you have family, if you have kids and you're all occupying the same space, but the biggest thing I think is just to practice basically just patience. I mean, you know, if you're finding yourself being anxious, you know, try like curbing your exposure to social media and news. You know, if you're feeling frightened, you know, remember like the good things and, you know, cherish little things. Do things like, you know, cook or play video games or, you know, try and, you know, involve yourself in something creative, even if it's something that you can't quite focus on. just enough to sort of like, you know, give yourself little rewards now and again. You know, you can take a walk, absolutely, for being cabin fever. You just got to stay 6 feet away from everybody. But, you know, just basically taking the time to be kind to yourself. That's the biggest thing, I think.
Yeah, that's really, really important. You know, kindness, patience, this keeps us in a responsive state rather than a reactive one. And I think the reactive states, you know, as you mentioned, you know, limiting some exposure to news or unpleasant parts of social media, that will get you riled up. That will get you reactive. And that reactivity, again, triggers your sympathetic nervous system. And where we want to be as much as we can is on the parasympathetic nervous side, which is the one that's comfortable, relaxed, able to feel desire. Arousal can only happen in the parasympathetic nervous system state. But the other thing too is, you know, if, you know, you and I are both alone sheltering in places in different parts of the world. Other people, as you mentioned, they're with lovers, they're with family. And there could be ways, for example, for a couple or a triple or a family group to offer things to each other that help to build that kindness. And one of the things I've been an advocate before, and I talked about this in my erotic hypnosis, the segment that we did, I think it's great if people can shut their eyes, relax a little bit, and a partner or family member whispers loving, appreciative words into their ears for 5 minutes so that that person can just sort of soak in feeling loved, feeling appreciated. And then you take turns doing that. We really have to breed this, maybe breed isn't the right word, but we really have to cultivate, it's a better word, cultivate a way of being together, because, number one, it's great and you're going to feel better getting through it if you do that. But also, if things become even more crazy and have an even greater impact on our daily lives, those feelings of togetherness and camaraderie and appreciation are going to make sure that you or your, you know, intimacy unit or your family unit are going to be much more effective and helpful to each other if things get rougher for, you know, many more people. And realizing that it's quite rough already for quite a lot, not just in the U.S., but all over the world. People are coping with all kinds of things, and we know this. And
Absolutely. I think also it's time to start, like, cultivating also imagination, you know, and try and stay as optimistic as possible. I mean, I don't mean things like putting yourself and others at risk because you're in denial of a situation, but rather try and hold on to the fact that we will get through this. You know, it's like, you know, looking at the world and reminding ourselves that we are a resilient species, that, you know, we are coming together as never before, and, you know, we have experts working very hard on solutions, and just kind of like holding on to that, because, you know, falling back into, you know, despair is first of all, it's like you can't really do much about it except be, once again, responsible and practice, you know, the guidelines. But, you know, just one day at a time, and just sort of like take things as calm as possible. And, again, try and find indulgences, kind of find some ways of, like, you know, developing, you know, better relations with your friends, reaching out. You know, there's all kinds of hotlines now available that if you're feeling anxious or depressed, you can reach out. You know, looking at online positivity is a great example. You know, looking at, like, you know, many museums now have virtual tours. There's all kinds of different ways to get out there and sort of, like, give yourself, like, a view of the world and that we're getting through this.
Yeah, exactly. I've come across some clever things that people are thinking up. One friend of mine posted an idea, which I think she got from someplace else, about women getting together and watching a series of getting together online. So not, you know, not in the same room, but and watching a collection of sort of badass or mean movies that have female characters who are either really badass or kind of mean and evil, but, you know, sort of getting that sort of fun charge of the wickedness thing. You know, uh-huh. Hey, I think that's very cute. I've noticed other people are posting things about colors or, you know, name 25 things about your life that would surprise. I mean, that kind of stuff has been around forever, and I usually ignore it. But I think that people are gravitating to this more because it's very light. You know, it's a relief from the really hardcore, heavy-duty content, which I've been guilty of filling my Facebook timeline with, you know, CDC and mask-making instructions and links to scientific studies, you know, but that's just, you know, that's just how I roll. Swinging us back around to sex, I mean, people could make up little sexual games like that. Now, they probably won't be able to play it on Facebook, but they could, you know, 25 sexual things that your friends don't know about you, and obviously, or your lovers don't know about you. Maybe you don't want to tell all your friends, but anything that can bring a little mirth, a little lightness, some kind of whimsy, humor definitely has got to be. I was online with a couple of friends a few days ago, and one of them mentioned that they'd seen, I guess, some video clip of Stephen Colbert partially dressed, and that they got this actually pretty quick but quite distinctive look at Stephen Colbert's package, as it were, in boxer shorts, I guess. For some reason, the other two of us found this hysterically funny. And, you know, while I haven't tracked down that video, I find the thing amusing. I mean, you see these memes of people dressed from the waist up for business meetings and, you know, with very little or nothing on below. You know, that could be a game too. You know, well, you know, what am I wearing, you know, that you can't see, or what am I not wearing that you can't see? People will come up with, I think, some interesting things. My personal form of self-care lately, though, has been finding amazing offerings that some of my most beloved sort of spiritual witchy teachers are coming up with. It seems like everybody feels compelled to bring something out to the world and share it. So I've been sitting in on these fabulous online tarot readings live on Facebook the last several days. That one of my favorite people just started doing. You know, there's been a lot of kind of food for the soul. And I've been spending more time chasing that stuff down than I am sexual stuff, actually. You know, which is weird, being a sexologist and all that, but I don't know, the inner work seems more compelling right now than the other stuff. I'm not sure why. I don't know.
Again, it's like, you know, I think it's important just to, like, just do what you want to do as far as this goes and keep yourself going. And, you know, it's like, if you enjoy something, then go for it. I mean, it sounds weird to say, but this is kind of like my time to shine. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's many days where I'm just like, I find myself sleeping for way too long because I just can't believe, just like, trying to process this whole situation. But, you know, it's like I've had the big fortune of writing erotic science fiction and, you know, writing nonfiction articles for, like, Future of Sex. So, you know, it's like, oh my God, all this technology and all these things I've been thinking of are now, you know, not just possible, but they're kind of skyrocketing where, you know, in fact, my article for today I have to write is about virtual orgies. So people are using, you know, video conferencing and internet connected sex toys to have, you know, group sex scenes. And, you know, it's like,
wow,
you know, the proliferation of virtual reality and, you know, social interaction games, like I mentioned, you know, like 3DX chat and others. It's like, you know, it's like suddenly it's like this whole virtual world that used to be sort of a hobby now suddenly is becoming like a major way of people can interact both socially and sexually. And it's like, I heard the other day that it's like, you know, the sex toy industry is booming right now. The only problem is getting it shipped. But, you know, so many of these things now, it's like, I mean, some of these toys are just phenomenal for this kind of thing where you can interact with videos, you can interact with other toys in the same room or around the world. So, you know, I think, you know, even though I mentioned before, it's like hard to focus during this, I think it's kind of fun to sort of like look at some of these options. And that's what I find myself doing these days. It's like, you know, it's funny. It's like I've always been kind of like impatient for the future. So I've been spending a lot of my time looking at new technologies, looking at new ways to entertain, virtual reality games, this kind of stuff, and thinking it's like, you know, this is 2020. I mean, yes, we're stuck at home, but there's no reason why we can't live like we're living in the future.
Well, yeah, you've got a good point. Or we could live in the past. You know, I'm sure that there mm-hmm. are a number of people who are, if they haven't already, you know, they're eroticizing their, you know, Renaissance fair or steampunk, you know, you mm-hmm. name it, you know, favorite historical period, you know, the mm-hmm. Berlin between the two world wars, whatever. I mean, people may be enacting some really interesting historical fantasies, and they may be mm-hmm. using future tech for all we know, you know, there's that, mm-hmm. but, or maybe it's not future tech anymore since so much of it, you know, is present, as you say. I've also heard that there's now starting to become kind of coronavirus erotica, that some porn's being released now where, you know, either the theme is the disease or it's featuring masks that are worn, you know, not fetishy, you know, I know there's a fetish for this mm-hmm. kind of appearance for some folks, but they're, you know, they're the ordinary masks, and that these are showing up in some pornography. So that's really interesting. Have you come across any of that?
Oh yes, absolutely. In fact, I was thinking the other day, it's like if you're into like latex, you know, fetish gear, now's your time to shine. Because, you know, masks and gas masks and stuff feature predominantly in that. One thing I'm particularly enjoying is a fashion trend, which has been around for a couple of years, called tech wear. Tech wear is kind of like this proto-cyberpunky, dark, bold graphics. But one of the features that shows up in very often in that whole fashion genre is face masks. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like, I'm looking at these photographs of models and designers, you know, putting together works, and they all feature this. It's like, oh, my God, you guys are present. You know, it's like you predicted what's going to happen here.
Isn't that interesting?
But, you know, I think, and, you know, human beings and eroticism are always fascinating because we'll take the most weird thing and the most unusual thing and sometimes even the most dark thing and eroticize it. I'm actually not surprised at all. We're seeing, like, you know, mask porn and, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, like I said, virtual reality things and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like sometimes it helps us process it the same way that some people, you know, laugh during crisis or, you know, ease up the whole thing. Like you mentioned, you know, Colbert and others who are just, you know, making this a good opportunity to, like, you know, ease up the tension.
Right. Yeah, exactly. What we're learning really is safer socializing. So just like, mm-hmm. you know, there's safer sex. Now we're working out what safer socializing means and what that's all about. this is going to change. You know, we're going to look back on the time before COVID-19 from a very different perspective, you know, on the other side of this, just as we can look back to the days of the United States sexual revolution before HIV/AIDS arrived and really changed behaviors for so many people and you know, changed lives really or ended them. But kind of segueing into this idea of safer socializing, safer sex, we kind of need to have, you know, make sure that we have enough condoms on hand, other kinds of contraception, morning after pills, lube. If you venture out to get your groceries, maybe you want to make sure that you've also got the condoms just in case. Well, just in case you're sheltering in place with a lover or two. So, you know, have that stuff available. But I did hear let me finish and then I'll let you go ahead. Did hear that in Australia, people are using condoms on their fingers for pushing elevator buttons. And that came out of Marty Klein's newest newsletter as well. I think that's interesting.
I mean, exactly. I mean, but, you know, it's funny. I just read an article the other day. Now, this was a while ago, so it may not be all that current. I don't want to cause people to worry, but one of the things that we're seeing is a surge in things that weren't simply purchased all that often. It's now suddenly being purchased like crazy. We already had the ridiculous thing about toilet paper, which, again, it's like, you know, it's like I simply just don't understand it. Nothing, I don't use it, but I just don't understand this whole obsession with it. But now they're talking about having the possibility of a condom shortage because people are like I said, using it so often. The same way that some internet providers have had, like, you know, I know like Netflix has slowed down their service in some cases, and same thing with Amazon and even PlayStation. You know, if you're a gamer, they've slowed down the download speeds a bit because the demand has grown so much since the whole, you know, epidemic started. So, you know, there might be situations where, you know, it's like, not to start a run here, but, you know, if you're running low on condoms, you might want to order them. Because it's like, again, it's like we're lucky that we have this infrastructure in place to order things. But, you know, sometimes things will run out or they'll simply just run out of stock. So, you know, it's something to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm. And the other option, of course, would be to engage in other forms of sexual activity that don't necessarily require a condom or a dental dam. You know, there's also that aspect as well. So things like erotic massage, tantric sex, BDSM, erotic hypnosis. I mean, there's things that you can definitely do together if you run out of condoms. It doesn't mean you have to forego everything. You know, there are other options. And that may be one of the things that sex educators and sex therapists and sex writers might also want to remind people about in the coming days. You know, there's other options.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're
and there's also
stash is gone. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, in a sense, like, the good news also is that there's many sexologists as well as BDSM educators who are now doing online classes. So if you're interested, now's your chance to, take part of some of these. I know a couple of them are still starting up, and they may not be going for a couple more weeks. But I think it's kind of cool that now if you have, like, any questions about many of these practices, you can actually go online and see, like, a demonstration and get, you know, a whole education thing on them.
Yeah, actually, I've been tossing around the idea of doing a short erotic hypnosis course for beginners online for free so that people could have fun and learn that. And I would be doing that probably through Zoom. So, you know, a number of people could attend and sort of get the basic ideas, the basic information about. But I haven't actually sat down to schedule it. You know, I've taught that course so often, I don't really need to develop curricula. It's just that I don't think I've quite come to the point where I've settled in enough that I can go ahead and teach. I think I still have a little bit of an adjustment period before I do that, but it is something on my list to do. So people can look out for that on my website. And, you know, that's in our show notes. You know, my information and yours as well. Do you think you might want to teach something online? Is that something you're interested in?
I've thought about that. In fact, my friend Rob Grieco and I did a whole like erotica writing thing, and we're sort of starting it up slowly but surely. But I've thought about doing like erotica writing. I've thought about doing some sex ed. I've thought about doing some BDSM kind of stuff. I do need to invest in a better camera because the only one I have right now is my webcam. So I need to do something like that. And some things like erotica writing, you can definitely do that just like you're hearing us now, because you don't need to see visuals necessarily. But for things like BDSM, you really sort of need to see what's going on there, because it's hard to describe, and sometimes you hit the misinterpretation of what you're hearing versus what's actually going on. So, but I've definitely been thinking of that quite a bit, and, you know, I think it would be kind of fun. One, it would be trying to keep me busy, but two, it's like, I think it's kind of important these days, especially people might be, you know, using the opportunity to try out, you know, different sexual practices now more than ever. Education is so important.
Right, yeah. You know, it's kind of a nice thing, though, to think that when people are trying new things out, they're exploring parts of their sexuality that maybe they haven't given any time to, or maybe they haven't been entirely comfortable with. It's nice to think that this is an opportunity for that. And we have so little support in the United States American consumer culture. I mean, you know, yes, there's a healthy porn industry and there's a healthy sex toy industry, but those are the externals, and people can go inward. They could go inward a little more and really begin to understand themselves at deeper levels as erotic beings, and make some discoveries about themselves, or discoveries about themselves in conjunction with a partner or partners. And that could be fairly transformative. If we had a society that had a lot more people with, I don't know, that kind of sexual self-knowledge, I think is probably the best word. That could be very interesting indeed. If we pair that with kindness and patience, we could have a nice thing going here. potentially. Yeah. Sometimes I get optimistic too.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about, like, where this might lead us. I mean, it's funny because, like, I mean, you know, to be honest, I mean, this will pass. I mean, eventually they'll find some way of either, you know, controlling the epidemic or an antidote or something similar, and, you know, a vaccine. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, I wonder sometimes, it's like, you know, we've already heard about some of the, you know, interesting side effects. Now, a lot of it's a negative side effect. I mean, like the poor people who are, you know, who now are, like, you know, struggling financially, or the restaurant industry, or, you know, retail outlets having to close. That's a big, huge, very negative kind of impact. But there's also things like the impact on the environment has been lessened. People are starting now learning that telecommuting, you know, which many companies for a long time were dragging their feet on, is now a perfectly reasonable option. So maybe we'll see some, you know, a side effect of this being that companies will be more open to this going forward. Maybe we'll see, like, you know, a, you know, people don't have to drive to work every day, and hopefully it'll help the environment, as well as just, you know, getting away from that kind of, you know, needing to live in near an urban area. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could happen about this. I mean, the fact that we have to interact now on more of a kind of intellectual level, because we're communicating more online, that may bolster communication skills. It also might take away kind of that social pressure in social gatherings, you know, because people are now kind of like living the way they make sense to them. I mean, exploring sexuality, trying to do different ways of earning a living. I mean, you know, it's like so much of our lives before this were wrapped around very often like physical presence and, you know, the way you look, the way you dressed, the car you drove. You know, if your social interactions and your work are all now virtual, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But I do think it's unlikely that the impact will lead to more people wanting to live further away from medical treatment centers. And that's one disadvantage to rural life, which one that I face, is that rural health care is woefully inadequate in most areas. And that's one of the dangers with this virus, that these already woefully inadequate providers in these remote areas, if they get overwhelmed, they're going to be overwhelmed so quickly, so much more that, and that's going to leave a lot of people at risk. So I think that a lot of people will be reconsidering what they do next. You know, they're sort of the inadequacies of what's happening. I hear something in the background. What is that? Chris? Chris, for some reason your vocals are not coming through. What's happening? Chris, we're having some technical difficulties. Chris? Chris, can I stop you for a minute? We're not hearing you. Chris, can you adjust your microphone or do something? Everything that you just said came through as a very low-level, garbled response. I couldn't make out any of it, and I don't know if it's coming through on the broadcast. What happened? Were you turned away from your microphone?
Am I back?
Yeah, you're back. You sound a little different, but it's better than it was. Yeah.
That was weird.
I don't know what happened.
Cut out for some reason.
Oh, okay. Well, I couldn't hear a thing that you were saying. I mean, I could hear that something was going on, but I couldn't make it out. Do you want to repeat some of the points you made?
Well, I do. I just wanted to say it's like we need to address situations where the infrastructure in our society is showing the gaps. It's like we have things like, you know, people who are living in remote areas, people who don't have access to the internet. These people are going to suffer much more than everybody else. And as a society, we need to address this. We need to find some ways of making sure that they are cared for and have access to information and mental health services. And the fact that we haven't done this is really says a lot about our culture.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You know, one of the things I've been seeing too, come across my radar is information that's coming from the sexual and reproductive health areas, particularly birthing and breastfeeding. And how that is something that's, you know, not being talked about much outside the professional areas, you know, that address, like midwives, doulas, obstetricians, certified breastfeeders. But this whole question of giving birth and feeding infants during this time is that's something that's incredibly stressful and that we need more information about. And people are developing guidelines around this. But this also means that these are people who are also like just super underserved right now because, you know, you can't just pop into a clinic with your new baby and say, ear infection. You're going to think twice about that. And of course, you're going to want to get help for your child, but it's going to be much more scary. And that is something that is, I don't see much talk about outside of, you know, as I say, these very specific circles. And I'm wondering too, are we going to see a baby boom after this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because number one, people may run out of condoms or birth control, or they may choose not to use it, or this specter of impending doom could possibly cause the reaction of, that sort of species survival must reproduce thing. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if we're going to see some of that. So looking down the road, there's definitely going to be sweeping changes. And I agree with you that we should have had all this infrastructure in place a long, long time ago, both administratively and equipment-wise and, you know, in terms of facilities, people trained. The fact that, now I haven't verified this, but one of the things that came across my feed is the Trump administration stepping up, either blocking or shipping back people with doctors and nurses from other countries who have immigrated, the Trump administration wants to get rid of them right now. Now, again, I need to double check that, but I was just appalled. Like, are you insane? We've got medical people dying of this virus. These people are martyrs at this point who have been, I'll get on a soapbox, so maybe I should stop, but there is no common sense being used at all at the federal level, as far as I can see, to deal with this. It's all, anyway, you know, we've talked, and some of my listeners may or may not share these views. I don't know, but the views expressed are simply my own. So I think a lot of people agree. What else? What
well,
else
I definitely
can we
agree.
Say?
And in fact, I mean, I would definitely go as far to say that if you're looking for information on what's going on, if you're looking for information on how to, you know, process and deal with and keep yourself healthy and safe, do not listen to the president. I mean, you know, the disinformation coming out of this, you know, anyway, this person's mouth is criminally negligent and distorted. Instead, go to the Centers for Disease Control, the World Health Organization, and as far as I'm concerned, nowhere else. I mean, don't get your information from Facebook. Don't get your information from, you know, go to the source. And if you're lucky, you know, find out information from your local government as opposed to, like, you know what's going on there, because it's criminally negligent.
Well, that was the point I was going to make when I blurted out a minute ago, is that I know California and I know Oregon, because I've been getting those bulletins too, seems to be doing really good job of informing people in their states. Mm-hmm. And I know that my local representatives and senators have been doing virtual town halls with updates, and usually they've got at least one medical expert in tow as well who will speak. So I think that the state and some of the local governments are much more reliable at this point, and they are drawing their information from those most reliable sources that you cited, the WHO, World Health Organization, and the Centers for Disease Control. National Institute for Health is also part of that CDC thing, and so you'll find good information there. Or if you go straight to published studies, you can do a Google search, Google Scholar search, or some other kind of search engine, and actually get right into the scientific literature that's being published, where you can access studies and you can see for yourself. It'll take a little reading time, but hey, you know, most of us have some time now that we didn't have before. So actually looking at the studies themselves is another good way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. It's like so much disinformation going out there. It's important to stay educated on people who actually know what they're talking about, who understand what this is, and to take precautions based on their recommendations. I mean, the good news about social media is it connects us together. The bad news is it also allows the spread of disinformation, and in this case, disinformation is going to get you killed. So, you know, once again, CDC, mental health, I mean, the National Institute of Health, you know, go there.
And there are some, I think, some very reputable people that you can follow, you know, people who have, you know, say if you're following on Twitter, Dr. Dina Grayson, you know, or there are some other people who have years of experience dealing with epidemics and pandemics or different aspects of medicine or public health who really do know what they're talking about. You know, maybe they've been, you know, high up in a major organization, but you can generally trust those people to some extent as well. And, you know, but again, you want to use some critical thinking. You want to sift through, you want to understand what somebody's CV or resume contains. I think that we're still misled, though. It's regrettable that the Surgeon General of the United States, you know, a few weeks ago was saying no need for the public to wear masks. And I understand part of that was the message that, you know, leave the medical masks to the medical personnel. They need it. There's a shortage. And I understand that. But the fact that this has been discouraged even just wearing your homemade masks or your bandanas. There's evidence now that shows that actually that would have been a great help to have that in place. And different countries which have made mask wearing mandatory and socially mandatory and required as well. So maybe it's not just a governmental instruction, but it's also part of that, hey, you want to be a good member of the community, you should be wearing a mask when you go outside. These countries like the Czech Republic and some of the Asian countries have done quite well in keeping down, really blunting the impact of this. Whereas, you know, we can see what's happening. You know, United States is at the top of the list now in cases, and there's no slowing. You know, that's me being pessimistic again, but that's what the numbers are showing. So it's not pessimism at this point. It's realism, you know, to understand what's going on. So I'm very pleased that the CDC just announced yesterday, wear the mask, you know, make something, wear something over your face. You know, we were talking about this earlier, and you're going to be a lot better off, and everybody else around you will be a lot better off too. That's for sure. I've just got on my soapbox, but now I'm off it again. Is there anything else that we should, in these last few minutes of our show?
For me, I mean, just pretty much like you just said, I mean, just wear your face mask, get your information from reputable sources, stay optimistic, try and like go one day at a time. I mean, it's going to take a while, so the longer we get used to this, the longer we process it, the better. But otherwise, just, you know, just remember that, you know, we will get through this.
We'll get through this. And then I guess I want to add another reminder that Tickle Life has got a page for COVID-19 resources on a lot of things, not just sexuality-related topics, and that there are an awful lot of writers there, sex experts, therapists, and whatnot, who are also writing about various aspects and trying to give help and education and encouragement. So, you know, those are good sources, not for the disease itself, but ways maybe of getting through it, or at least addressing the questions or the issues might have about, you know, what do you do with your sex life during this time? And if you're alone, you know, what can you do with your sex life at this time? So I think we could wind up here. We've got some really interesting shows coming up. We've got next week, I think, is it Sexual Revolutionaries We've Known and Loved? That might be next week. I postponed Sex Magic, but that'll come up later in the month. And toy boxes. We're going to get into our toy boxes on one of those episodes a little bit later in the month, too. So we can take our stuff and make noises on the internet and, you know, turn on the devices and have a good time. And hopefully our listeners will have a good time too. So, Chris, as always, I love doing the show with you. And listeners, I'm glad you're here with us. Tell your friends, listen to our past episodes, and be sure to tune in next Saturday at 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time in the morning, and for more of Love's Outer Limits. So goodbye to all. Thank you.